my advice to everyone listening right now is to just take a step back and realize, you know, it sounds a little corny, sounds a little cliche, but it's true. You know, you have the power to create your own future. You just got to decide what you want and go after it.
I'm your host, Rom Cook, and this is Contenders Wanted. Hello and welcome to the Contenders Wanted podcast, the podcast for those striving to get better every day and unleash their potential. If you're new to the show or haven't done so yet, please hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast player and leave us a quick review. This helps other contenders find the show and lets us know how we can improve. Have you ever met someone in life where after about 2 minutes of talking to them, the thought comes to your mind, I'm pretty sure that person's going somewhere. One of those people for me personally is Adam Carswell. Adam is our guest on the show today, and we have a super interesting conversation that I think you all are going to love. Adam is originally from Plainsville, Ohio, but left Ohio to become a two-sport athlete in basketball and track and field at Westminster College in Pennsylvania, where he earned a bachelor's degree in journalism. Adam then earned his MBA at Galen University in San Ignacio, Belize, where he played for and coached two national championship basketball teams. After graduating from Galen University in December 2014, Adam moved back to the U.S., where he began his career with the Sherman Williams Paint Company in Washington, D.C., managing stores for Sherman Williams for 2 years before making a full-time career transition into real estate in 2017. He's now the director at Concordia Realty Corporation and business development manager at ASIM Capital, two privately held commercial real estate firms. He also serves as director of media and marketing for Liberty Fund IO, and the combined experience has enabled him to syndicate, redevelop, reposition, and revitalize more than $500 million worth of real estate across the United States. In his spare time, Adam produces the Cashflow Connections Real Estate Podcast, along with producing and hosting both Dream Chasers and the Liberland Show podcasts. He has been a featured guest on numerous podcasts for his expertise on social marketing and LinkedIn network management. Adam is also a co-founder of the Next Level Mastermind, an exclusive commercial real estate group of the industry's top capital raisers. And last but certainly not least, Adam is an affiliate and mentee of Russell Bronson. Part of the reason why I'm so excited to have Adam on the show is because Adam is on this meteoric rise within his own industry, and he has this fascinating story that covers everywhere from here in the States to Belize to Canada. And we discuss all of the changes along the way, how he got over all these hurdles, and how he ultimately got to where he is today and how he's on the track that he's on. He is a really great guy that I've known for a couple of years and just immediately hit it off with in talking with him. And I think you'll be able to see why very quickly in the course of this conversation. Adam is known as a, quote, master connector in certain circles that he walks in. And that is an understatement in certain ways. In this episode alone, he is going to share so many names of people, books, and other resources that for any of these topics you might be interested in, please just go to the show notes. There is so much in the show notes that is there to help you learn or understand more of some of these really unique projects and interesting things that he's working on. So with that, let's jump in the show.
All right, Adam Carswell, welcome to the show.
Rob, thank you for having me. Really looking forward to this.
Well, likewise, for listeners of the show, I have known Adam here for about a year and a half or so, and we just kind of kept in touch, multiple points of contact here, and the more I learn about Adam, the more I like this guy, and so I wanted to get him on the show just so you all could hear his story and learn a little bit about him and hear some of the amazing stuff that he's doing. So, Adam, could you take a minute and maybe tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? Who are you? Where are you from? And what do you do?
Yeah. Hey guys, I'm Adam Carswell, born and raised. Oh, actually, no, I always got to say, hi, grandma. Hope you're listening. Born and raised in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Went to college in Western Pennsylvania, where I don't know, Rob, if you just mentioned this, but I'm getting confused now because we had our pre-call chat.
No worries.
But played basketball there for 4 years at Westminster College, ran track and field as well. Moved to Belize, Central America to get my master's, played and coached basketball down there too. Moved back to the U.S. to Washington, D.C., where I lived for 4 years. Did a few different things with a few different companies there. Relocated to San Francisco. And actually, I think when I was living in the Bay Area is when we first connected, Rob. So almost 2 years ago now. And then now I live on the other side of North America, St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada. And I moved here in May 2019. And there's all kinds of little golden nuggets and stories along the way, but that's like the quick intro.
All right. I love it. Okay. Well, let's back up then and unpack a little bit here. So you mentioned that you played basketball and went and got your master's down in Belize. Not very many people do that. So how did that opportunity come your way?
Yeah, that first came to fruition because, so I didn't know, I'm in university playing basketball, as I mentioned, running track and field. Those were definitely like some of my main focuses at the time. And I knew, all right, I want to graduate and have a degree in something, but I didn't know what I wanted to even major in until halfway through college. Big surprise here. I ended up going into broadcast communications where I learned a lot of the skills that I use now, especially in producing Dream Chasers. And then during that time, I realized, what am I really passionate about? And I remember there was a time when I was in high school, coaching basketball camps in the summer at my high school. And I'll never forget the feeling that I got leading, this group of like fourth and fifth graders to a championship in at basketball camp and, winning that championship with these little guys. And it was a great feeling. That was the first time I ever coached. And so, I don't know, I just had a moment where I thought back to them, like, you know what, that's what I want to do. Like, that's what, I was so happy when that all came together. And so I went down this path of wanting to be a college basketball coach. And part of that is having your master's degree now. It's a big part of like prerequisites. I mean, there's a few exceptions here and there, but most NCAA coaches have their master's. So I'm like, all right, I want to do that. I also, when I was at Westminster, played against someone named BJ McGill. BJ, if you ever hear this, I don't know if I ever gave you credit for this, but I heard that he moved to the UK. He's a couple years older than me and was getting his master's there and playing basketball still. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, because after 4 years in the NCAA, your time is up, but not in his situation. So I'm like, man, that'd be really cool if I could go overseas somewhere, get my master's and keep playing basketball because I want to get it anyway. And so that's basically what happened. I spoke to my head coach at Westminster, Kevin Soroki, and he's from Youngstown, Ohio, but spent like anywhere from 8 to 10 years of his life living in Belize, and he coached and played basketball there. I'm like, coach, is there any way I can like do this in Belize? And he's like, yeah, actually, let me look into it. And so time went by and slowly but surely things started working out. And then not only did I get to go get my master's, but it was on a full ride and, played basketball for a season at Galen. And then that's when like the crazy like life story moment took place. And I was basically promoted from a player to head coach in a matter of a year. And then we won a championship when I was a player. And then we won the national championship when I was a coach, which is just like, wow. Wow.
Okay. So what was this kind of life-changing moment that you just mentioned?
It was,
if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah. It was crazy. Cause I was 23, but from the age of, I guess it seemed like a long time, but probably from the age of 20 through 23, that's when I was like, all right, I want to be a college basketball coach one day. Like, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going after. And I committed to it. And like the crazy moment was just how everything transpired. Networking did pay off in many ways. One cool little side fun fact too, I was mentored by Shaka Smart and his coaching staff for 3 summers at VCU. I worked basketball camps there. So I got to always give credit to those guys. But looking back
at sweet.
How it all took place. Yeah, actually, I just remembered. I found out that I became the head coach of Galen when I came home for a month during my Belize time. I was home for a month. And during that month, I spent a week in Richmond, Virginia. And I got the phone call that I got the offer to be head coach. I remember I was like telling everyone, they told Coach Smart. He's like, I don't know. He probably had like a million other things to worry about or care about. But he's like, oh, good job. And I was like, never forget. It feels good to have Jacques Smart tell you good job. So
anyone who's a mentor of yours and when they kind of give you that little high five, it's a pick me up for sure.
Yeah. anyone listening to, I just realized, because we're getting into the basketball weeds here, if you don't know who Shaka Smart is, just do a web search on him. He's really...
We'll have a link to him in the resources.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, that was the crazy moment was, whoa, I just got offered like my dream job and I'm 23. I was not expecting this. And, you know, some other things happened and I decided to make a few career changes, and we can get into that too if you want. But yeah, it all happened. Sure. It worked out and got a championship out of it. It's like, all right, cool.
Okay. Well then let's go to the next part of the story then. So you worked hard, you played basketball, had a great time, got this opportunity. You did really well, won a national championship, like you said, but then life took a different course. Mm. What happened?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, one thing that I didn't foresee happening was, which I think is a little bit expected, I got a little bit homesick. You know, I had been living in Belize for 2 years. It's the first time I ever left the U.S. in the first place. When I first moved there, I didn't know anyone there. Now I have lots of people that I would consider family there. But so a little bit of homesickness kicked in. We had won the championship. You know what? Another big thing was, as a head coach there, I was making good enough money where, like, if I just wanted to kick back and have a nice Belizean relaxed lifestyle, I could probably pull it off. But I had student loans pending from like my U.S. universities, which there was no way coaching at Galen was going to be able to cover that. That actually was a big factor. And so
real life was setting in, huh?
Yeah. And you know what? I realized, like, so being a head coach in Belize was cool, but a lot of my friends who are on the path to head coach in the NCAA, I was looking at just the relentless hours that they were putting in to just barely get by it, like financially, and just like, it was such hard work. And I was like, dude, you know what? Not that I don't like hard work, but I don't know if I actually like basketball that much. Like, I remember being in a conversation and these guys are just like, it was like nonstop basketball, like, conversation. And I'm cool with that, because, like, you know, it's my background. But I was like, dude, these guys literally like bleed the sport and they all want to be head coaches at the Division I level at NCAA. I don't know if this is necessarily my thing. All I know is that I like to coach. I like leadership. That's what basketball taught me. And so I moved back to the U.S. and got a job with Sherwin-Williams, the paint company. And that's when the business side of things
began. So I imagine Sherwin-Williams working for them is not nearly as glamorous as it was being the head coach.
Yeah. You know what? It was a big, I don't want to say step back, but it's pretty wild how you could go from doing something like that to basically having an entry level job with a good company. I mean, man, Sherwin-Williams, I would definitely say a diamond in the rough in regards to like sales training and how they groom their entry level employees. Mm-hmm. You can learn a ton there. I'd say it's like an enterprise has the same reputation. A lot of these Fortune 500, like, it's hard work. Like, they definitely groom you for professionalism. So, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, you're running a paint store. It's just like, in Washington, D.C., everyone's like, okay, cool, nice. Thanks for the paint. I got to get back to my job at Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
So it is wild.
So we met when you had a different career change introductory, which kind of has shifted you to what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear, what was it that invoked you to make this new change, and was kind of that tipping point for you to go from just, you know, you're at a great company running a store. A lot of people would say, hey, I can be content, I'm fine. But what made things shift for you?
What made things shift for me? Cause I was, man, I was told people, if you would have slipped my wrist when I was working at Sherwin-Williams, paint would have came out. Cause I was diehard for that company. I recruited my brother, my sister into the company. I think like in a matter of like less than 2 years, I had recruited like at least 15 people to the company. Like, I was like, this is it. But I don't know. I had an epiphany moment, and I got it like many other real estate folks out there. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad twice. And then also I had someone in the company tell me that around the same time frame, like, yeah, I'm working on my real estate license. And for me, even just hearing that was like, what? Someone who works for this company is thinking about making money somewhere besides Sherwin-Williams? How could that even be possible? This is the greatest place ever. But so I was like, wow, they're working on their real estate license. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should do that. And I had a really good friend of mine who was like big into self-education, which was something I wasn't taking very seriously until age 23, because when you're going through school, I think you just, after a while, you're like, dude, I don't want any more books. So,
amen. Anyone who's been in college, I think, feels that at some point. Let's be real.
Yeah, yeah. And so it can be a huge detriment to a lot of people who are ambitious without realizing it. And so thankfully, a combination of self-education and hearing other people around me going for like their real estate license is what got me thinking that direction. Long story short, I ended up leaving Sherwin-Williams, starting up my next chapter, which was with RE/MAX. But even during my chapter with RE/MAX is when I started going down the commercial direction, which is how we got connected, and also how I met my boss and mentor now, Hunter Thompson. So if we're getting into that, you know, I'm ready to go for that conversation.
Yeah, let's go for it.
So guys, Hunter put together a program, which is still definitely running strong to this day, called the Cashflow Connections Mentorship Program. And back in 2017, when we first connected, he had been thinking about putting the course together for a while. And if you ever hear his kind of like his story on how the course came to be, he was like, yeah, Adam was like the last push that I needed to put this thing together. So me and four other people who knew way more about commercial real estate than me, like I always tell people, I hardly even knew what an asset class was. I didn't even know what a syndication was, but I was like, all right, I just know I want to do this. I dove in and, you know, time went by and next thing you know, I'm working on projects with Hunter. And then it gets to a point where about a year and a half ago, he kind of gave me the keys with the mentorship program to run everything from, you know, a management and administration standpoint. So he's well positioned now where all he has to do is show up and talk. But, you know, I'm running everything. That's how I met Rob, because I had the intro call with Rob. And it's just amazing how things can change so much from one decision. And so I give that program so much credit.
So I have to know, you're doing the self-education, but you bleed paint. So how did you find Hunter and Cashflow Connections?
Yeah. Oh man. So Rob, you ask some great questions. so I, during, as I mentioned, during my time at Sherwin-Williams, I was like, I had that transition moment. It all happened during the transition moment. So, right after I left Sherwin, I was like, you know, I had a plan, but it's funny. Like you think you have this plan and you jump in the deep end and you don't have a paycheck anymore. And you just like, wait, what do I do? So one thing that I probably should have been using my time more effectively, but you know what? At the end of the day, I take that back, because if I wasn't doing what I'm about to tell you, then I wouldn't be here. So I started just like diving into more self-education on YouTube. I started watching like podcasts, and that was right when the Bitcoin craze kicked, which I have a story probably like many other people where like when that first craze happened, like I made a ton of money and then like I thought it was going to keep going. And then I pretty much ended back at zero. But during that Bitcoin craze, it got me diving into the world of technology so much. And there's a guy named Jeff Berwick who has a podcast called Anarchast. And it's just, if you guys go check out Anarchast, you'd be like, what? Hunter was on this show? But Hunter was on that show. And I followed up with him and I was like, hey, it's a show where I could tell whoever's going to be on the show, we probably have some similar worldviews, and Hunter and I definitely hit it off in that regard. So it's like, hey, I like what you had to say on the show. You know, let's talk. And so that would have been maybe like September or October 2017 when he was on that show.
You know, what's funny is you talk about reaching out to Hunter. Like it was just, I just reached out to him. Right. But so many people would be so afraid to do that. Like, I can't tell you how many people who I've had conversations with where they know who they want to work with, or they know who they want to be like, but they're just terrified to reach out to them. Right. And you got nothing to lose. Right. Yeah. You had no idea what was going to come from reaching out and talking to Hunter.
Our mutual friend, Derek Reiner, I give him so much credit because he actually brought this out of me. I never thought about it all the way through until he asked me, but, yeah, reaching out is so powerful, because I know, for example, when I look back at my life, like starting with Westminster College where I played, I sent out a bunch of emails to a bunch of colleges for applications, and I didn't even put that I played basketball on the application, but it was like track season when I applied. So the track coach at Westminster reached out to me, and he's the one who like first created the relationship. But as time went by, I was like, you know what? Like, they were showing interest, but like I reached out to them first. And then I ended up going there. And then when I was at Westminster, I reached out to like the Belize opportunity. And then that happened. And then my job at Sherwin-Williams, I reached out to someone who went to Westminster, who was a recruiter in the Washington, D.C. area. And then I reached out to Hunter. And then I reached out to Michael Flight, who's another powerful name that we haven't mentioned yet. And, you know, it's just like the reaching out. I look back, it's like, yo, I created my own future. So you guys got to do that.
I think that's actually an incredibly important but often overlooked principle of success, right? Is this idea of creating your own future. You got to take a second sometimes and go and make your own future, right? You have to be proactive, whether that's reaching out to someone whose book you really enjoy, or, you know, someone you heard on a podcast, or a school you want to attend, or a company you want to work for. You have nothing to lose, so you might as well just go for it, right?
Yeah. You know, my advice to everyone listening right now is to just take a step back and realize, you know, it sounds a little corny, sounds a little cliche, but it's true. You know, you have the power to create your own future. Just got to decide what you want and go after it.
I love it. Thanks for sharing that, Adam. Well, one question I have as I'm listening to your story and kind of hearing this path, kind of back and forth path that you went on, did you ever find yourself kind of hitting any ceilings or kind of walls that you ran into that you had to overcome? Because right now it just sounds like you just kind of reached out and the next opportunity came, and then you reached out and the next opportunity came. But did you hit any walls that you ran into?
Yeah, definitely hit walls along the way. Maybe not in the you know what? Looking back on it, I probably did hit walls with the outreach process, but I kind of forgot about the ones that didn't get back to me, because the ones that did, you know, did need to get back to me for life to continue were the right ones. So, yeah, guys, don't, you know, you hear this all the time too, but you can't be afraid of no, because there's definitely, now that I think about it, been many people that I've reached out to throughout my life that never got back. And I guess the funny thing is, like, you forget about it as long as, you know, you get to where you want to go. And then I can't remember who it is that I did reach out to that didn't get back to me. But, you know, as far as hardships and failures too, you know, one major lesson that I learned, this was within my first year at RE/MAX. So I left Sherwin-Williams, which was a company that, as you guys have heard, like I loved. I was doing really well there. And it's funny, this is one thing to be aware of. Whenever you're about to make like a big life transition like that, especially going from like a paycheck to the entrepreneurial side of things, when like it comes down to the last 2 weeks, for example, like all sorts of kind of things, like the universe is just going to try and throw everything it can at you to try and get you to like change your mind, because you know, you have to be careful. Obviously your friends and family are going to be concerned about you, and they're going to not mean to, but a lot of the times spread fear into your world that is not going to benefit you in any way. So you got to put your blinders on. You got to make sure who you're getting advice from, because you might be getting advice from someone who's never done what you're about to do. Like, that is really important. And to be honest, I didn't
really, that's great advice.
The only advice that I had looking back, like, I didn't know anyone that actually was doing what I was getting ready to do, but I did know people on the internet that I could like model after. One person I definitely consider a huge influence and mentor in my life now, who I've never met, is Russell Brunson. But just because you like don't actually know them doesn't mean they can't mentor you. So, you know, to get back to it, I mean, I had, you know, I'm trying to remember what the question was, but like, you got,
okay, we're talking about walls and kind of getting through some of those trials.
Yeah. So yeah, the walls. I mean, I'll never forget. I had already made up my mind that I was going to be leaving Sherwin, and, next thing you know, I'm at the national sales meeting, and I'm standing in a circle of people having a conversation. There's probably five of us, and every single person except for me in this circle of five is like a VP of a different division. And they're all just patting me on the back and talking how great the company is. And I was like, oh my God, if I was standing here a year ago, I'd be like, this is it. I'm committed for life. But in the back of my head, I'm like, this is God testing me to see if I'm going to stick with my plan or if I'm going to stick with Sherwin-Williams. And so I kept it moving, thank God. And yeah, and then so another wall, to just a humble, humiliating point in life. After my first year at RE/MAX, I did really well, which was actually a huge, not a good thing, because I expected year two to be a repeat, and it couldn't be anything further from the truth. I know there was one point where I had like two or three deals that I was basically banking on fall through. And it was all because of like someone's grandma died and like someone was having a baby, like all different kinds of things where it's like I had,
you know, total black swan events that you could have never anticipated.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, I just got my back against the wall. And thank God I had a great mentor in my life at that time and still someone I look up to tremendously to this day. His name's Andrew Reamer. He's the broker of Remax Distinctive where I was. So guys, go ahead and look up Drew Reamer. I've done a couple interviews with him. Yeah, you know, he kind of caught me when I was falling. But, you know, just because you have a good year one, guys, I'm sure if you haven't lived this for yourself, it's all part of the journey. But it does not mean year two is going to be the same. Got to prepare for yeah. situations.
No, I love both of those stories. Thank you for sharing those, Adam. Mm-hmm. I especially love this idea of, you know, sometimes God or the universe or however you want to describe it is going to test you when you decide to pursue excellence, let's just say, right? Whether that's to, you know, start a business or to start a diet or whatever it might be, you're going to find all sorts of resistance that's just going to show up. And you have to make the decision to move through the resistance, you know, just take it one step at a time and just keep going. Right?
You have to be a contender.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. You got to keep fighting because if you don't, you'll just be stuck in the same spot. I love that. And I thank you for sharing the story about, you know, Andrew Reamer kind of saving your hind mm-hmm. because I think this is a story I think anyone can relate to, right? Anytime you start something new, especially if you have great success at the very beginning, like you did, you know, you think, oh great, now I got this figured out. I'm good. I'm just going to cruise to success. And that's not how life works. You know, life goes and ebbs and flows. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. And to be successful, you have to prepare for the worst during the good times so that when those bad times come, like they inevitably do, and whatever the situation might be, you can weather it and you can keep moving forward.
Right.
So thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
All right, Adam. Well, I feel like there's been lots of good little gems, even already up to this point, that our listeners will enjoy.
I'm happy. At the same time, looking at our recording time, and we're still like almost halfway through. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was gonna say we haven't even got to talking about though what you do now. I mean, we've kind of touched on some, you know, the beginning of your path to where you are now, but perhaps help the listeners understand what do you do now?
Sure. And
yeah.
Yeah, you helped me take another step back and paint another picture. Here's a gold nugget for everyone listening. Russell Brunson, disciple speaking right here. Hook, story, offer. It's all about the hook, the story, the offer. So Rob hooked me in here for you guys. I gave you the story. And I don't know if I necessarily have an offer for you right now, but I'm going to tell you what I'm doing right now and how you can be a part of the journey. So hook, story, offer. Here we go. Well, now, as I mentioned, there's another individual in my life. His name is Michael Flight. And this just goes back to the power of making that decision to invest in myself with the mentorship program. I would have never met Michael if it wasn't for Hunter's introduction to him in the first place. And I would never be working with Michael if it wasn't for Hunter's unselfishness as a leader. Because basically, when I first started working with Michael, it was the agreement was like, all right, you know, the stuff, Adam, that you're doing with Hunter, I'd like you to come and, you know, do that at my firm as well. And so, you know, checked with Hunter, I'm like, is this cool? And he was like, yeah. So I'm still rough, you know, relatively speaking in the same shoes when I say that I'm like a modern day apprentice for both Michael and Hunter. There's a lot of different projects that we all work on within our companies. And I'm kind of at the high level management. So if there's like a big task that one of the two can't handle, but they know I can, you know, I'm next in line. So it's a really cool dynamic. And I wish I could paint the picture for other people how to go out there and like position themselves to do the same thing because it's so much fun. But all I can say is like, guys, just go out there and network and take the vision, the picture that I've painted and do your best to go out there and create it for yourself because it's fun. Be an apprentice and then get to the next level. So anyways, now with Michael, we're working on a project that's really exciting. And it actually, by the time this interview goes out, should definitely be live. I wouldn't call it a project anymore. It's a company. It's Liberty Fund Real Estate, or you can go to libertyfund.io. And we are the world's first ever triple net lease single tenant triple net lease security token. I know it's a mouthful, as you can see, but a lot of content, a lot of information out there on who we are and what we're doing, especially if you just go to libertyfund.io. And then I'm sure, Rob, you might have some follow-up questions too. But I met Michael, you know, Concordia Realty Corporation was really the firm that I started working with Michael at. And Concordia Realty Corporation has been in business for 30 years. It's still up and running, but because we put so much time and energy into Liberty Fund, that's where all of the marketing is going right now. And then, switching back over to ASIM Capital, really focused with Hunter on growing our educational platform, which we've mentioned a lot here, and a few other projects. And then I guess lastly, personally, I have my podcast, Dream Chasers, and always looking for...
I was wondering when you were going to mention that. We've kind of skirted around it a few different times at this point.
Guys, go subscribe to Dream Chasers if you're enjoying this conversation. I guarantee we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of great content that Adam puts out on Dream Chasers. He interviews lots of really interesting, really cool people, kind of talking about the future of a lot of different asset classes. So he'd be a fun one to listen to for sure. Okay, so perhaps help our listeners understand what the heck is Liberty Fund IO and a tokenized, I don't even know if I'm going to say this right, but a tokenized single tenant triple net lease fund. What does that even mean?
I was like, I got to talk to Michael. We got to figure out our official acronym because it is a mouthful. The world's first single tenant triple net lease security token. I mean, where do we start?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
All right, guys, I'm gonna take you back into the story because you gotta get the story on it before we get into
it. Makes sense.
So during that time frame where I was talking about diving into YouTube University, actually, you know what? Another guest that I saw on Anarchast was the president of Liberland, Vit Yedlichka. And long story short, I started networking my way into Liberland, basically this startup country in Eastern Europe. We're 5 years old now. And I say we're because I'm the host of the Liberland Show, the country's podcast. Guys,
please, so this is a country called Liberland?
Liberland, yeah. And it's, as you know, if you want to say marketed, really the world's first and only libertarian country. And we have a lot of cool things that get me excited. Our buddy Derek Reiner's definitely down this this rabbit hole as well. But you know, it's a country where taxation is voluntary. The entire governance model is built on blockchain, so tons of transparency, unlike ever seen before. And you know, we really model ourselves as the future of entrepreneurial paradise, similar to like a Monaco or Hong Kong or Singapore, but the newest version. And so, very young, you know, it's like a startup company. It's like a startup company, but it's a country. Just go to Liberland.
A startup country.
Go to Liberland.org, guys. Or you can go to, we have the hosting platform for the Liberland Show on Anchor. So you go to anchor.fm/Liberland. That's where all of the interviews that I've done for the country are. And you can get a real solid feel for who we are and what we're doing just by listening to the show. And e-residency is a hot topic right now. I have my own e-residency card, and you can get yours too if you're interested for a good price. It's not that expensive. And we've modeled our e-residency program after Estonia's. So if you go to Liberland.org and you apply for e-residency and you don't hear back for whatever reason, you can definitely reach out to me and I'll get you connected with the big dogs.
Wow. Okay. So there are like a million rabbit holes that we can go down, I'm sure, <I know. laughs> with everything that you just said in the last
minutes. I didn't even answer the question. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. This is good. I mean, this is just like...
I was telling you
about... I don't even know where to begin, but let's circle back. This all started with discussing your Liberty Fund.
Yes. So
but let's just focus on that one real quick, and then we'll leave tons of resources in the show notes for people who want to learn more and find more and get a hold of you for sure. Cause
yeah,
I mean, it all sounds incredibly interesting, but we just don't have the time to cover it all, I don't think.
Yeah. And no, thank you for bringing us back. That's why you're a great, great podcast host. The reason why I was mentioning Liberland, sorry guys, was because, a lot of the people that I met through Liberland, introduced this concept to Michael and myself. And basically we were like, well, if you could put a country on the blockchain, like why can't you put real estate on the blockchain? If anything, Michael was kind of like one of those old guys that was talking trash on cryptocurrency forever. But then he was like, well, you know, the only reason why I've ever talked trash on it is because there's nothing backing it. But what if you could actually take a real tangible asset and put it on the blockchain and, you know, make it stable. And so that was the inception
radical.
Of Liberty Fund. So there we go. Sorry. That's how we had to bring it back.
Gotcha. So it's basically a real estate investment fund that's backed by blockchain is what it sounds like.
Yeah. So imagine, you know, having, if you're in a deal and you have shares in the deal or your LP, GP, et cetera, like security token is a similar concept where the form of you holding shares in the investment is in a token form. And
gotcha.
What that token will look like as we continue to grow now is a diversified portfolio of essential businesses across the US. So essential meaning like medical, dental, fast food restaurants, automotive buildings, and they're all freestanding single tenant is the key word, right? So single tenant triple net leases. So they're not, they could be in a shopping center, but they're operating independently on their own, tend to have pretty low cap rates, but are cool because they all cash flow and they're all essential. And then the way Michael has kind of taken the lead on our marketing is, you know, it's bonds wrapped in real estate. And if anything, it's actually better than bonds because I don't know if you want to be investing in bonds right now. They got some weird
there's all sorts of interesting stuff going on there.
So,
well, okay. Well, that's super interesting. We'll leave a link to that in the show notes if anyone wants to learn more about that. One thing that I think all the listeners will easily recognize in the course of this interview, Adam, is that you are connected to a lot of people. You've thrown out a lot of different names, a lot of different groups through all of this. And on your LinkedIn profile, it says that you are, quote, a master connector. And I can testify that that's true because just in our, you know, year and a half, 2 years of knowing each other, you've connected me with four or five other people that have been great for me to know. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to know, how did you come up with this concept of being a master connector? And why did you choose to kind of make that part of your brand?
I remember when I was on LinkedIn, like this is before I even started really hitting it hard. And what I mean by hitting it hard is I think I'm at a point now, or if you look over the past 2 or 3 years, if I haven't posted at least once per day, my average has got to be close to it. And that's a really valuable thing takeaway. Sorry to make this quick, but takeaway for everyone listening. LinkedIn got acquired by Microsoft maybe definitely less than 2 years ago. I don't know how many 100 million users they have, but I know if they're not at 500 million, like that's one of their goals. And to keep in mind that less than 1% of that massive number of LinkedIn users are posting on a daily basis. So it's the only social media platform.
Wow, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's the only social media platform I know of where like mice can roar. You just got to like get over your fear of maybe, you know, I think a lot of people don't roar because it's like considered professional. But once you can overcome that fear, you're just going to stand out. And Rob, I'm sure you don't even realize like, because I know you kind of just fired your thing back up. But you probably don't even realize how many people are like paying attention to what you're doing. So yeah, getting back to your question about networking. I just remember seeing someone posted on LinkedIn as their title, Master Connector. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I think I'm a master. I want to be a master connector one day. And so I just put it in my title and you kind of grow into the shoes that you set for yourself. And, yeah, I think it's safe to say at this point in my career, I haven't mastered it completely. There's always more to learn.
No, you are definitely a master connector at this point. If not, you're a senior apprentice. How about that? A journeyman.
There you go.
For sure. But I like that idea of you kind of grow into the shoes that you give yourself, like you said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think so often we're limited by our own perceptions of ourselves and who we are and who we can become. Right? Like you just read that on someone's profile and you're like, you know, I want that. I think I'm going to try and do that. Now, does it take work? Does it take effort? Of course. But more often than not, I think a lot of people would look at that and go, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if they think, oh, that's really cool. I'd like that. Then they do nothing about it. But you took the next step and you put it out there to the world. You put it on your profile that, okay, I'm a master connector. Well, I better start acting like that.
It's pretty, right? Yeah, guys. I mean, it's not, I will say it's not really easy to do either. It's when you first do something like that, you get scared because you're like, man, I wonder what other people are going to be thinking about me. Like, you know, it's a scary thing to do, but you grow into those shoes.
For sure. And I think anyone who has great dreams, I mean, that's part of the reason why a lot of these like self-help gurus will talk about this idea of like, you need to imagine yourself having already accomplished your goal and you're already there. Because basically you're creating your shoes that you you're just going to kind of grow into and you're going to become. The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you become that person. Recently, I finished reading the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. And in that book, he has this concept of casting votes for yourself, what your identity is. And part of creating these habits in our lives is that the habits cast votes for who we believe we are. So if you have the habit of working out, you're casting the vote of, I'm a person who exercises, or I am a healthy individual, right? Or casting the vote for being a master connector. Well, by taking that first vote of putting it on your title and then connecting one person and then connecting another person, you are casting votes for becoming a master connector. And sometimes it's just, you have to start by casting that first vote and deciding, this is what I want to be.
Yeah. Right? It's create your habits and your habits create you.
Yep. Love that. It's a great quote. All right. Well, we don't have a ton of time left and I want to be cognizant of your time, Adam. But I'd love to end with just two items here really quick. Number one, I'd love to know, you've had a great journey up to this point. You've accomplished a lot. You've helped a lot of people. But I'd love to hear, what are your goals now moving forward and kind of what is your perception of where you're at? I think we've kind of gotten a sense of that, but I'd love to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Sure. And you know, I remember reading this question when you sent it to me in advance. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk about XYZ. And it's it's slipping my mind right now. But the first thing that comes to mind is, as I mentioned, I've just been really inspired by Russell Brunson and his content recently. And, you know, I can't tell you guys enough times to just go check him out. Actually, if you really want to check it out and I think about it, I'm an affiliate. I'm registered as an affiliate as of this week. So if you want some content from Brunson, come to me so I can get you the deal.
Well, we'll drop a link in the show notes then. We'll drop your link in the show notes. How about that?
Sure. But I think, I look at the impact that an individual like him has made on thousands and thousands, maybe even millions at this point, of people just by focusing on, you know, the kind of the cliche phrase, adding as much value and serving as many people as you can. Like, once you figure out that, once you experience the joys of serving and adding value, then you just get this crazy craving for it. And I'm basically following his lead at this point. Like, if there's any goals that I have now over the next 10 to 20 years, it's, you know, how can I continuously serve more people? How can I get some of the messages and things that I shared with you, Rob, out to the world to land on at least the one set of ears that is going to change their life? Because I don't know about you, but no, I do know about you, Rob, because we're basically brothers from another mother. It's like the greatest feeling ever. It's better than, you know, getting paycheck, yep, or whatever. And normally the financials will follow happily after you restructure your life in this manner. So next 10 to 20 years, to give you specifics, it'd be tough, but I do have like a life mission.
Please share with us. We'd love to hear it.
It comes from, it's a little bit of Grant Cardone inspiration in here too. Once upon a time, I started journaling. I want to create a financial foundation for the next 9 generations of Carswells. And I chose number 9 because that's kind of my number.
Wow. That's a big number.
It's a great number. And I wish we had time for that too. But I know if you guys go to, I have an online store. If you go to ix9.shop, there's a description of the number 9 and why it's my number there. Anyways, I was like, not next 9 generations of Carswells. And I'm like, you know what? I was reading 10X as I was putting out this mission. And I was like, you know what? Might as well make it 90. Like, what? Like, why not? And yeah, guys, just like 10X your goal. So that's a mission. And the cool thing about a mission is like, you never actually get to the end goal. It's something that you're going to be pursuing your whole life. So, you know, I've got goals and stuff written down. But if you can define your mission, then you're always going to have energy to just keep going and wake up every day and having a good time.
Yeah, I love that. It gives your life purpose. I went through a similar exercise probably a year and a half, 2 years ago at this point, where I really sat down and I kind of looked at, what is my life's purpose? What is my mission for all that I do? And it was a really cool exercise because it really forces you to stop and think, right? But it provides you, once you have that, it provides you with a compass that will direct your goals and your actions and everything else that you try and accomplish in life through the lens of that purpose. So yeah, I think that's a great point. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it out.
Of course. All right, Adam, as we wrap up the show here, one question that I love asking all of the visitors on the show is, what does it mean to them to be a contender? So I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it ties back to a lot of what we spoke about today. First thing that comes to mind for me right now is flashing back to our conversation of reaching out, you know, being a contender. You know what? This is a world where if you want to get what you want, you're going to have to face a lot of rejections and a lot of no's and a lot of people not getting back to you. And you got to find the strength within to realize like it's nothing personal. That's just the way it is. It is what it is. And so being able to accept mm-hmm. that and embrace every moment that God gives you and basically say, like, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to hold tight to this vision. I'm going to keep moving forward regardless. That's what being a contender is all about. Don't quit. You got to hang in there. And, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
I love that. Thanks so much for sharing that, because I think you're right. Keep going. Doesn't matter how many times people tell you no. Just keep on keeping on, right?
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'm thinking about a lot of the stuff that we spoke about here today. Guys, you got to check out Derek Reiner's podcast too, because Derek, you and Derek both did a great job. I've never like shared a lot of these like thoughts and ideas before on shows. So you guys are, this is a good one. I'm going to go back and listen to it many times.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share them with us. This has been great having you on the show. Do you want to maybe take a moment here at the very end to tell our listeners how they can perhaps learn more about you or how they can connect with you specifically?
Yeah. Best way, guys, is to go to my website, carswell.io. There I have everything from like every connection for social media there. And if you send me a message there, it'll get pushed through to my email. So happy to connect with anyone listening. And then, you know, check out Dream Chasers, my podcast, Interviews with the Future, which we're going to have Rob on there soon. So get ready.
Thanks, Adam. I really appreciate that, man. Well, I will definitely leave a link to your website and frankly, every other resource that we have referenced throughout the show. I've been taking notes here. So there'll be a lot of really good stuff for those who listened through this full episode. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Adam. Really appreciate you spending some time with us and answering our questions.
You got it, Rob. Thank you.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I know Adam and I really enjoyed making it, so I hope that you enjoy it and get as much out of it as I did. For me, the key takeaway of this episode was to just go out and create your own future. I think Adam completely embodied that in his story. So many people know roughly what it is that they want, right? We kind of have this general idea, but we're forever analyzing and thinking and planning, but not acting. If we want to live a life of no regrets, more often than not, that means that we need to take action because we regret the things that we don't do and not necessarily the things that we do do. So get out there and make your future, because if you don't, someone else will. So that begs the question then, what are you going to do as a result of this show? All right, thank you for joining us today. If you haven't done so already, please remember to like, subscribe, and tell a friend about the show. As always, a list of the resources and links we discussed, as well as a recap of the show and more about our guest, can be found in the show notes. Please feel free to shoot me an email at rob@contenderswanted.com if you'd like to suggest a guest for the show or just to contact me. I'd love to hear from any of the listeners and hear any of the feedback you might have or maybe even how the show is helping you. So once again, my email is rob@contenderswanted.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, success leaves clues and contenders are always wanted.